I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. We have for the last few weeks been talking about our lives as progressive Anglican Christians. And last week we talked about salvation, and it's only natural that today we talk about eternal life. I want to begin by saying that eternal life is very different than immortality. We sometimes have confused the two. But immortality was never a Christian thought. It was a Greek thought passed to the Romans in the secular world and somehow has percolated its way into our thinking. But the Christian thought is eternal life, not immortality. The scripture plainly says the only immortality is reserved for Jesus. So I think that's pretty important to think about as we begin. Let's read again the collect. O God, in the flaming bush you promised deliverance to your people. In the cross of Jesus you embraced our suffering and pain. As we take up the cross, show us the transforming power of your love, so that we may know the hope of your glory. Show us the transforming power of your love, so that we may know the hope of your glory. Transforming power of love is what eternal life is all about. And eternal life for Christians begins now. Now in our lifetime. It's now. It's not in the future. Eternal life begins now. And you can see this pretty clearly when you read the Gospel of John, but even in the Gospel of Matthew, when Matthew says, "Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And we see it more powerfully in the burning bush. When God says to Moses, "Take off your shoes," when Moses turned aside and saw something unusual and saw this bush burning that did not get consumed, God says to Moses, "Take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." When we intentionally follow God and intentionally move to something that may be even beyond our own best interest, but we know it is the divine thing to do, that means that we have entered into having the divinity of God within us, and we're following in the divine way. And when we're following in the divine way, we have entered into eternal life. When we're following in the divine way, we are entered into eternal life. For we are in the kingdom and in the reign of God. Jesus taught us that the reign of God is being a community that turns itself aside from the earthly values and towards the heavenly values which Jesus taught. And when we are in that, we are in eternal life. And that is what progressive Anglicans are trying to say and to live. All of us here have choices every day. From the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, there are choices presented to us. Do we feed the hungry or do we forget the hungry? Do we put more money in our bank account or do we give out to somebody else? Do we join someone who is teasing somebody else? Or do we move away from that and stand up for those who are marginalized and outcast? Do we laugh at a disabled person when somebody else makes a joke about it? Or do we say, "No, that's not funny. We don't do that." Do we make jokes about people who are different than us by color, race, capability, gender understanding? Or do we stand up and say we're all people of God? when we turn away from the way of the world and stand up for the values of love, which means forgiveness, inclusion, reconciliation, we have joined eternal life. We are a part of eternal life, for we are active participants in being members of the kingdom of God. The reign of God is in our hearts, and we are following as citizens in that community of God's people. It doesn't matter about what you eat or not eat. It doesn't matter a lot of things that people in the past have said, this brings you in and that makes you an outcast. That's not it. It's about an attitude of wholeness, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of making wrongs into rights. And it's challenging. It's challenging. Because sometimes we encounter people who we don't basically like. And we have to work hard to see the spark of God within them. To see that they too have God incarnate in them. Because we understand that we are all divine. The divinity of God rests in each and every one of us, as well as in all things around us. But we have to be active in seeing that divinity and act like when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to a face of God. But it's also true when we are speaking to someone who is just going in or coming out of prison, or somebody who's a down and out, who's really addicted, someone who is yelling and screaming, to somehow see the face of God in them. So it takes maturity and composure. And we don't have to do it on our own. It's okay to say, God, I am committed to following you, but help me in this moment, because I can't stand the action of this person. They bug me. They make me want to fight them. I've been there. I'm sure you have too. I want to scream at them, but I don't. And how we don't is because we recognize that we are called to be people of divinity. We are called to be people of God. And that divine spark resides in us, but it also resides in them. And that's challenging. Maybe their divinity has been clouded over by events in their lives over which they have no control at this moment. But by finding the divinity in them, it may be the start of helping them live a new life. I can remember the first day I went in to work in a prison. And I thought, oh God, what have I got myself into? But I had to soon recognize that I was not there, and I did that within a few days, I was not there to bring God to these godless prisoners. I was there to celebrate the presence of God with them and help them overcome their own pain, to help them reconcile themselves to themselves and help them working and making amends for the wrongs they had done. People have often asked me, and I got asked again today, how do you stand it? How can you be in prison? How could you do that work? We have to recognize that God is present in all people. And we just need to seek the divinity. But once you work at seeking that divinity, making that step, it's a holy step. And we're on holy ground, and we are living an eternal life, and God is with us. We've turned aside and gone to the burning bush. But I would sometimes have to go into the prison, and I did it many times over my 22 years of being a prison chaplain. I'd have to go in around, say, 2 in the morning. I don't know why. It always seemed to be 2. Get up, be sleepy, wash your face off, put on clothes and drive in. Because you had to go and tell an inmate, if he had a death in his family, you couldn't wait till 6 in the morning. You had to do it right then. You had to go and wake him up. I only worked with men. Wake him up and say, you know, Joe, I've got something to tell you. Your mom died 2 hours ago. And be with him as he dealt with that. But as he'd walk away after doing that pastoral ministry with the guy, or going to the cell block, I would hear lots of men crying. Now, we don't often think of prisoners and men crying, but I heard it lots. And I know from officers who've worked, they've heard it as well, lots. And I would ask these people, because I would know who they were, it's not hard to tell, and I would see them the next day and I'd say, I was in your cell block the other night and I heard you having an emotional time. I wouldn't say, and I would do it privately. I wouldn't shame them. And they said, yeah, I was thinking about what I had done and how stupid I was. And I just know I can never make amends to that. There's a lot of that goes on in the prisons all the time. And we have to, and there's not just in prison, it's all over. We've all done things that inside we know, why? What was I thinking? Who was I at that moment? When we work at recognizing that, we invite God into ourselves. And again, it's another divine step in being a part of eternal life. So what about immortality? What about life after life? There is a spark. There is a spark, a divine spark that comes to us when we are conceived. And that divine spark is with us our whole time on this planet. And I believe that that divine spark goes into the universe and is always there in the universe. It's not immortality. It's a spark of who we are, a unique spark that each one of us has. And we bring that spark every day of our lives. And it goes beyond after we pass on in this life. It's not a soul. It's not some of the imagery that we used to be taught. But it's a divine spark that is in the whole. We are stardust. I think we all know by now the carbon that makes us up is carbon that originated in an exploding star millions of years ago. In the whole of the science, we now know that. But we are a unique spark in the midst of the whole of the universe. But that's not eternal life. Eternal life is now. Being a Christian alive and allowing the divinity that is in us to reach out and meet the humanity and the divinity in others. And also the divinity that is in all sentient things on this planet. I pray today as we journey as Christians and as we receive the sacrament to know that there's the presence of Jesus within us, the real presence, that we go from here with a renewed commitment to being people of divinity, allowing the God within us to guide us and be with us as we encounter the world around us. May God bless us all. Amen.